All right, thank you. So I know it's been a long week, so thank you for bearing with me for this final presentation. And we're going to change gears a little bit. So I know we've heard a lot of broader epidemiological studies, and now we're going to look at things from the perspective of the provider, of the clinician. So I'm a medical student, and we're going to be looking at very common scenarios that clinicians, especially pediatricians, emergency room physicians, urgent care providers, face every day in the course of their practice, often several times a day. And we're going to look at how knowledge of local epidemiology can really affect the clinical management of a case and some very important decision making that goes on. So in terms of disclosures, for full transparency, I own shares of Gilead Sciences, which is primarily the HIV and hepatitis C drug maker. But for this study on pneumonia, there are no conflicts of interest. So the objectives, what we're going to do today is review current clinical guidelines regarding the use of chest x-rays to diagnose or rule out pneumonia in a febrile child. We're going to look at what the rate of occult pneumonia in Israel was in 2010 and try and compare that to previous studies. We're going to look at some reasons for why there might be some geographic and age-related variation in these rates. And finally, we're going to potentially suggest some modified guidelines for whether or not to use a chest x-ray empirically to diagnose pneumonia based on local epidemiological data. So here's a very common scenario you might see. So a five-year-old child, they've had a fever for a couple of days, it doesn't go away, maybe they have a cough, maybe they don't. And as a clinician, there's quite a few things that might start to go through your head. So could this be bronchitis, bronchiolitis, influenza, some bacterial or viral URIs, some other infections, maybe in a five-year-old, not so much pertussis, but it still could be. A number of other bacterial or viral etiologies. And the major question today is whether pneumonia should really be a strong consideration. And of course, that will depend a lot on the epidemiology. And in this case, we're assuming that the child has fever, but perhaps no other specific respiratory signs. So what are the current guidelines for diagnosing community-acquired pediatric pneumonia? So according to the World Health Organization, their guidelines suggest that we should use physical exam findings alone, especially the respiratory rate. So you take the age of a child and you count their respiratory rate if they have fever, and based on their age, if they're found to have tachypnea, you could say that that's pneumonia. You provide antibiotics. And these guidelines in developing countries have been shown to reduce morbidity and mortality, especially in places with limited access to radiology, where it's not so easy to get a chest x-ray necessarily. So this has proven to be a very good guideline. However, there have also been studies from developed countries, especially or including the United States, and these studies still maintain that typically, even though we have easy access to chest x-rays in most places, that physical exam findings are sufficient to diagnose and rule out pneumonia. So one particular study came from right here in Boston in 2007 at Boston Children's Hospital, and they found occult pneumonia in 5.3% of patients with fever and no lower respiratory tract findings, tachypnea, or respiratory distress. And what they concluded was that because the rate was so low, that there's really no need to obtain a chest x-ray in a febrile child without cough. But if they had a higher white blood cell count or a longer duration of the cough or fever, maybe you could consider it, but typically it would not be necessary. But there might be locations where the rate of occult pneumonia is higher. So, and studies have shown that chest x-rays might be useful in this circumstance. So one study showed that empiric chest radiographs in children with fever and leukocytosis, 26% had findings of occult pneumonia. And as an added benefit, it's also useful to confirm a diagnosis of pneumonia, even if you think you hear something in their chest, they have some lower respiratory symptoms, a lot of the time the x-ray will not necessarily show an infiltrate present, and therefore the radiograph is still useful even to confirm suspected diagnoses of pneumonia based on clinical findings. So a previous study conducted at the Terem Emergency Medical Centers in Jerusalem, where we did the current study, found that in 2006, the rate of occult pneumonia was 20.6% among children who were less than 10 with fever but no specific lower respiratory findings. And what we suspected was that the high rate might reflect the slower introduction of anti-pneumococcal conjugate vaccines in Israel compared with the United States. So we repeated the study again in 2010, hopefully using more recent data. Perhaps we would see a decrease with the greater introduction of this vaccine. And we want to use this data to suggest more updated guidelines for the appropriate use of radiography. Is it necessary? Is it not necessary to diagnose pneumonia? And what is the implications of these findings for other locations with similar rates? So first, a little bit about Terem. This is a privately owned network of urgent care centers. When we did this study, there were 8 total centers, mostly in Jerusalem, 3 large branches that are always open, and 5 smaller branches that are open in the afternoons and evenings, as well as on weekends, but are not open 24/7. And Terem is a pretty major player in terms of urgent care within Israel. At the time of the study, there were over 200,000 annual patient visits, and the current number of patient visits is already over 400,000. So it's really a very important part of the healthcare system over there. This was an IRB-approved retrospective study, and our eligible patients were children between age 2 months and 10 years, so we're eliminating a lot of children who might have more typically neonatal infections. And these children presented to a Terem urgent care center in the calendar year 2010 with a chief complaint of either fever, cough, or shortness of breath, and they had a chest x-ray performed. And we eliminated any patient for whom the chest x-ray result was equivocal, as determined by the radiologist. And our N was 957. So what were the clinical signs that we were looking at? So tachypnea, similar to the World Health Organization definition, but we also looked at respiratory distress, rales, wheezing, decreased air entry, and hypoxia with saturation lower than 92%. And these were all noted by the examining physician. And then we had the radiologist simply look at a chest film to evaluate for pneumonia, and the radiologist did not have any idea what the clinician had put in their report, so they were just told to evaluate the film for pneumonia. And we compared the two. And we defined a clinical finding of pneumonia in this study as having any one or more of these 6 signs. So what were the results? So we had 957 eligible patients. 503 had no clinical signs of pneumonia, and 454 had at least one of those 6 clinical signs. And some of the key findings, so if we look here, among those patients who had no clinical signs of pneumonia, we found that 23.5% nevertheless had a positive chest x-ray. So at least in Jerusalem, where we found such a high rate of occult pneumonia, simply having a negative physical exam could not rule out pneumonia, and a chest x-ray really could be a very important tool. As an added benefit, what we found was, or in terms of doing chest x-rays, was that of the 454 children who did have at least one of those 6 clinical signs, 56.8% actually had negative chest x-rays. So what this means is that by doing empiric chest x-rays on all children who come in with fever of unknown source, we can not only catch these occult pneumonias, as we describe them, but also potentially eliminate the unnecessary use of antibiotics, which is another major public health issue. Overall, so 12.3% of all patients in the study had both no specific clinical signs and a positive chest x-ray. So what this means is that by giving the x-rays to all patients, we caught one occult pneumonia for every 8.13 chest x-rays performed, which is fairly efficient, and we caught one false positive pneumonia diagnosis for every 3.71 chest x-rays performed, and thereby avoiding potentially unnecessary use of antibiotics. So how might this apply to both Jerusalem but other locations as well? So we mentioned two of the benefits. Of course, we have to weigh that against the risks. So it's a serious thing when you're considering giving even a chest x-ray is not that high in terms of radiation, but when you're giving it to everybody who comes in with a fever, there could be significant cumulative radiation risk, as well as the cost and strain on limited healthcare resources. So how do you weigh those two benefits versus the risks? So it's, you know, it's something that could be discussed, it's debatable, but we want to claim that in Israel, where the rate of occult pneumonia is as high as it is, that it starts to weigh the scales towards doing those chest x-rays and preventing or catching those occult pneumonias and the complications that might come with it. We also found that the results varied by age. So in terms of children between 2 months and 2 years, 10.7% had these occult pneumonias, no clinical signs, and a positive chest x-ray. On the 2 to 4 year old age group, it went up to 14%, and 16% in the age 5 to 10 age group, once again confirming our suspicion that there's an age-related trend, and this might reflect the anti-pneumococcal vaccine, where the older children were less likely to have received it. So what are we concluding here? So just to summarize, as of 2010, the prevalence of pediatric occult pneumonia was higher in Jerusalem than in previously studied locations, such as Boston in particular, in the United States. We found that in Jerusalem, the benefits of obtaining a chest x-ray in febrile children, which include catching these occult pneumonias, as well as preventing the unnecessary use of antibiotics, appear to outweigh the risks. It's something that's debatable and could be studied further, but that's what we suspect based on our data. We also concluded that while there are many potential explanations for geographic variation in pneumonia incidence, differing vaccination rates may play a major role, and that's suggested by these age-related trends. And finally, and perhaps most importantly, the guidelines for when to obtain a chest x-ray in a febrile child should ideally be based on local epidemiological data. So it's very important that whether you're in Oregon or New Mexico, California, or other countries around the world, you can't necessarily use the data from Boston or from Jerusalem to determine whether we should empirically do chest x-rays on any child that comes in with fever or not, because that local data is what's going to determine whether the benefits outweigh the risks. So thank you for listening, and if anybody has any questions, I'd love to take them. Yes?
So you looked at children who had chest x-rays done.
Yes. Yeah, that's a very good point, and it's for sure a limitation of the study. I mean, we typically, when you look at a retrospective report, I mean, whether the child looks very sick, it's not always going to be in the chart. But the policy at this particular urgent care center is when you have a child that comes in with fever and the source is unknown, so typically they will do the chest x-ray. Now if they think the child has strep throat or something and they look in their throat and they have another source of infection that they reasonably suspect and they don't need to do the chest x-ray, then fine. But when they don't know what's going on and the child has fever, they will typically order the chest radiograph. Does that answer your question? No, that's true. That's definitely true. However, I mean, even when you look at the higher rates, I mean, in terms of the false positives, let's say you have, you know, one, what did we say the rate was? One in every, one chest x-ray for every 3.57 or whatever the actual rate was. So you're still going to get a significant reduction even if you give antibiotics to a fair proportion of those children who have the so-called false positive clinical examination, regardless.
Not having pneumonia doesn't mean not giving antibiotics.
Oh, absolutely, absolutely.
There's a lot of other reasons you might give a child antibiotics.
Absolutely. No, that's absolutely true. Yeah, thank you. Anybody else?
My question is, if you do test, you know, you look at a chest x-ray and it looks clear, will you still give antibiotics? Because that gets back to Perry Ann's question. Because, you know, are they doing it in Israel? Like if it's a negative chest x-ray, they won't give antibiotics.
So what they're trying to do at this center is give antibiotics less. Now, in practice, you have the parents, obviously. You have the clinical judgment of the physician who's seeing this child who maybe suspects, you know, a bacterial upper respiratory infection or some other cause of the fever. So, of course, it doesn't mean that you automatically don't give antibiotics, but perhaps you could hold off for a little bit longer, you know, when you know that it's not pneumonia and the complication rates might not be as high as with a more acute and severe infection. So we think there's some benefit to, you know, catching these false positive clinical exams, but does it necessarily mean you don't give antibiotics? No.
Okay, well it's interesting. It yeah. Helps you with your decision making. How much is a chest x-ray in Israel? How much does it cost? Is it cheaper than the United States? Or
okay, so I'm not sure. But I would imagine it's probably slightly cheaper.
Okay.
Just in terms of the general costs of healthcare comparing between countries. But I'm not sure what the exact costs are.
Seems like a lot of these, you know, this kind of question would come up in terms as we're fully implementing the Affordable Care Act and health services research. And then as an epidemiologist, I don't know your bent in terms of a medical student, because I got interested in epidemiology and public health at Mount Sinai School of Medicine where he attends. Are they still teaching you epidemiology and biostatistics?
Epidemiology, yes. Not so much biostatistics in terms of the medical school curriculum, but we do have an epidemiology course.
So. Okay. So if you were a health services researcher, fast forward a decade, 10 years from now, and there's implementation of the Affordable Care Act in this country, and you're doing this kind of research where you're looking and you're trying to make a decision about the effectiveness of using a chest x-ray. So in your decision, you'd be looking at the effectiveness and cost effectiveness.
Sure.
And trying to make a decision of the quality of care based on that epidemiologic information.
Absolutely. I mean, you could look at, the complications from pneumonias that go uncaught, these occult pneumonias, as we're defining them in this study, and you could look at, morbidity and mortality, the life year saved, or whatever other measures you want to use versus the cost of those chest x-rays, as well as the potential morbidity from the accumulation of all these extra chest x-rays and radiation. So.
Okay. Well, thank you for providing that information. And I want to thank everybody for their presentations and the audience for their questions. We've learned a lot here this afternoon, and I hope you all take this information back and share it with your colleagues and friends, and hope to see you all next year at APHA. So thank you all, and enjoy the rest of the day, safe travels home, and there's an interesting closing session if you have time. Thanks again.